If you have your Bible, would you join me this morning then in the book of Romans? I think it's the sixth book of the New Testament. Chapter 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 3. And I'll actually give you a couple of verses in Isaiah beforehand, just so if you want to write those down, that'll set up for the message today. But Romans chapter 6, and once you get your hands free, I invite you to join as we make our confession together. Let me get to Romans myself. Romans chapter 3, Romans 3, and whatever format you have, if you would join me as we make this confession together. Those online as well, you might as well join us from your homes or wherever you are. Okay, ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me give you these two verses from Isaiah if you want to write them down. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 reads, "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses," or our righteous deeds, "are like what? Are like filthy rags." So all our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. "We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." So our righteous acts, self-righteousness, is basically like filthy rags to God. Then over in chapter 61 and verse 10, Isaiah 61 and verse 10, we read these words, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." This morning, these two verses contrast the filthy rags of our self-righteousness with the rich robe of God's righteousness. And so here's the message this morning. It's not something unique to me. I kind of pulled it from history. It's from rags to riches. From rags to riches. Righteousness, just so that everyone understands, it basically means, if you think of the word right, means right relationship with God or right standing with God. So righteousness then is we either try to make ourselves right with God, which will never work, or we somehow come to God and receive his righteousness that always works, that cannot be improved on. So from rags to riches. So again, righteousness is being in right relationship with God. And would you look at verse 10 again? I want to just emphasize this in Isaiah 61:10. "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he," God, "has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He," speaking of God, "has covered me with the robe of righteousness." God provides the robe of righteousness. He is the one who covers us, all right? Now, Romans chapter 3. Let me join you there. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." That speaks of righteousness before God. That doesn't mean that someone who is a non-Christian, an unbeliever, is not a good neighbor, good employee, or nothing like that. It just simply means that we cannot make ourselves righteous before a holy God. We cannot cleanse our hearts from sin. So we can't make ourselves righteous. And since none of us are righteous, the sin in our hearts condemns us and separates us from this sinless and holy God. So we're condemned and separated from him. That's why Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And then the next verse says, we're condemned already if we don't believe. So he doesn't have to condemn us. He came to rescue us and to save us. And thank God that he did. Would you turn now to Romans chapter 10? Romans chapter 10. And we read just a few verses. Then I have three words that I hope to emphasize this morning, to focus on, that you receive, I hope, in your heart, mind, spirit, and mostly that we would live them out. Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." He was a fellow Israelite, an Israeli, and he wanted to see his people come to know the Lord. And he knew, in verse 2, it says, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God," because that was his background. That was his testimony, "but not according to knowledge." This is so important. Zeal is misdirected if it is not based on the accurate knowledge of the truth of God's word. I shared Wednesday evening that an event took place 46 years ago this past Monday. It made world headlines. I don't know if any of you would just call it to mind just from that little bit of information, but if I told them, I said, if I tell you this phrase, maybe it will bring it back to mind. Okay, ready? Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Jim Jones in Guyana. And 46 years ago, this past Monday, I think it was 930-some people drank Kool-Aid laced with cyanide and stepped out into eternity that way. That's so sad. And that's why truth is so important. We have to have grace and truth. It's speaking the truth in love to try to reach people, because there's so much deception. And Jesus said it increases in the days before he returns. So that's why it's so important that we base knowledge on God's word, the truth of his word. Then he says, verse 3, "For they, being ignorant or unaware of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness," notice, "have not submitted to the righteousness of God." That's the real issue, is that we either try to establish our own, so we got the rags, or we submit ourselves to God and we got the robe. From rags to riches. Now, verse 6, I'll read a few verses so we know how to receive the robe. Romans chapter 10, verse 6 says, "But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is, we have to bring Christ down from above. Or, 'Who will descend into the abyss?' That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? 'The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart.' That is the word of faith which we preach." Verse 9, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And then verse 10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Here is how God's righteousness works. God's righteousness is based on the perfect ministry and sacrifice of his son, Jesus. Perfect righteousness. God's very own righteousness. We can't improve on it. This scripture says it's with the heart. Here's how we go from rags to riches. We believe in our heart. First of all, we sense the conviction of sin in our heart because we realize we have sinned and we are not right with God. And so however that means from a child to an adult, we turn from our way of sin and unbelief to believe in Jesus as Lord. And when that happens, God graciously gives us his gift of righteousness and he makes us right with him. And if God makes us right, we're good. We are good to go. So from rags to riches, and it's the only way that we can enter God's eternal kingdom is through his righteousness and his grace. Thank God for grace. So here's our choice. God's righteousness or self-righteousness, humility or pride. And we will live from one perspective or the other. And the one we live by, the one we believe, affects our relationship with God and affects our relationship with others. And I hope to show you that here in these next few moments. So if you want to write these down, basically three words, I'm going to show a contrast, but I really want to center on three words. And if you turn back now to Romans chapter 3, we'll look at this first one. Either riches or rags. Riches or rags. Romans chapter 3, and I'll begin reading in verse 19. It says, now we know that whatever the law says, speaking of God's law, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become what? Guilty before God. So that's why I'm saying we're condemned by our sin, not God. Sin condemns us. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. We know what sin is because God revealed it to us in his word. Then verse 21, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In other words, even the Old Testament scriptures talked about a righteousness that comes from God. And then verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Notice it comes through faith in him to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Here's the first word I'd like to ask you to join what we're focusing on, and that is grace. Either grace or works. Speaking of riches or rags, grace or works. Grace is God's undeserved and unearned favor. That means there is absolutely nothing we can do on our own to earn it, buy it, deserve it, kind of add up enough little kind of tokens, stars, or whatever to get it. It's not based on us at all. This scripture tells us that by God's grace, he freely gives us righteousness. Notice twice it said the righteousness of God, it's his righteousness that he gives when we simply place our faith in Jesus. Let's be honest. Pride wants to do something to be recognized or to take credit for our righteousness. I'm a pretty good guy. The proverb even says, each man will proclaim his own goodness. Oh, you're a pretty good guy. I'm a pretty good guy. I haven't killed anyone. Again, we're speaking about our relationship with God and being righteous before him. And there is no way. It's either grace or works. It's either his riches and his righteousness he provides, or it's our works, and we will stand before God one day with filthy rags, and that's not good enough to get in. So here's what we have to offer God. Nothing. What we have to offer is actually just our sinful selves and our faith in him, and that's all he wants. So grace is freely received when we believe. So grace or works. And then here is the second one. And if you want to just stay right there, I'll read these to you. Many of the verses or two verses here are familiar with you. So we have grace or works, and then gratitude or boasting. So grace, would you say grace?
Grace.
Would you say gratitude?
Grace.
There are two of the three words. So grace, if we really receive God's grace, then gratitude should be a natural response back to the grace of God. We read these verses in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Notice, lest anyone should boast. So we have either grace or works, or we have gratitude or boasting. If we recognize our terminal spiritual condition before God that leads to hell, that leads to separation from God forever in a place Jesus said was prepared for the devil and his angels, And if we recognize the abundant grace of God that takes us from being sinful to being righteous, that takes us from spiritual death to spiritual life and from spiritual darkness to spiritual light, how can we not be grateful? To say, oh my goodness, what a week to remember and celebrate the grace of God and to just be grateful to him for what he has done for us. The Bible says this, two verses if you want to write them down. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll read them from the New Living Translation. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. It says, and they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. These are believers who were in need, and the believers here in Corinth, they were sent an offering by these people, like people had a heart to give. It was God's grace in their heart. They passed along a blessing, and this is how the response was. So there's overflowing grace of God in verse 14, and then verse 15 says, thank God for this gift too wonderful for words. You see how the grace and gratitude go together? So grace and gratitude. Now, if we're going to boast, let's boast in Jesus and what he did for us on the cross, right? Are you grateful for God's love today? Are you grateful for his mercy and his forgiveness and grace? Unconditional love. Think about that. Unconditional love. Doesn't gratitude make you want to please him? I know we all fall short at times, but isn't it in your heart if you're grateful for his grace that you want to do what's right and you want to please him? Remember what we read in Isaiah? It says God provided the robe like a bride with her wedding gown and like a bridegroom in his white tux. That's what I wore on my wedding day. And just think about when you're dressed up. Maybe you're on your Easter Sunday best and you've got on whatever that is, a nice polo shirt, or you have a tailor-made suit, whatever it is. I know for me, when I do feel like I'm kind of dressed up, fairly decent, I almost feel like I feel pretty good about myself. Have y'all ever experienced anything like that, that you almost feel it's kind of uplifting to you? Don't you know on such a greater scale that that's what God wants from us? He said, I've clothed you with my very own righteousness. Now I want you to live up to that high calling. Not that we earn it, it's just that we live up to it. And we're grateful for his blessings. That's really what it's about. And I found that right relationship in the scripture, right relationship with God produces the fruit of right living. That means living by God's standards. That was a good place to say amen. I'm just going to say it. Right standing with God does produce the fruit of right living, which is living by God's standards. And then the last one. So we've got grace, gratitude, and would you turn to Luke chapter 18? I would like to invite you to see these verses along with me. Luke chapter 18. Because I believe this one may reveal our tendency to go from riches to rags. Here's how I mean that. If we know the Lord and he's granted us his gift of righteousness by his grace, and we're grateful, we can be truly grateful. But this last area can sometimes reveal our tendency to want to live back into the rags of works and boasting. Jesus used an illustration here in Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 9. It says, also he, Jesus, spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. I looked that word up, despised, because I don't know that we often like just despise people, but the word means to show contempt or to look down on. That's where I think I can struggle with that at times, to say sometimes I don't despise anyone. But sometimes I catch myself, I believe, like either looking down on someone, not that I think they're less of a human because of maybe whatever status, but that I don't like where they're coming from or what they're doing or how they're acting, and I can kind of almost have that contempt toward them. And I'll be honest with you, I had one day this week. It's amazing how we have opportunities to practice what we preach. I was out in public one day. I didn't know this individual, but just the setting of it was, I thought he was being pretty inconsiderate, and I just let it go at that. And I was there in that place, and I found myself getting agitated within. I almost felt like that's like something rising up in me. And not only was he was inconsiderate, this individual was in my way for something I wanted to do. And when I first said something, they had their music going in there. So they didn't even hear me. But then I went ahead and said it again, because again, I'm getting a little bit, and it was, oh, yeah, come on. And really couldn't have been any nicer. But I said, thank you, Lord, that's where I want to always remember God's grace to me and not think I'm any better, because I really didn't think that. It was just agitating me in that moment. But I do want to, Jesus never condoned or excused sin. And the Bible tells us not only to love God in righteousness, it tells us to hate sin. But Jesus was moved with compassion for people. And that's how I want to be. What if we disagree? Well, now I'm kind of maybe safe to say this a little bit after the election. And there were some, and we disagree passionately, but am I looking down on them and showing contempt for them? Or do I have enough compassion to pray for them and share God's word with them in love? Riches or rags? So grace, gratitude, and the third word, compassion. Grace, gratitude, and compassion. And before I'll just read the rest of these verses, we'll be done. I believe we have a human tendency to compare others to ourselves in a way that makes us look good or to make us look spiritual. So I can maybe look at someone else and say, I'm in church every week. I'm on Zoom every Wednesday. I read the Bible every day. I pray. And those are all great. We're to do those activities. They're Christian disciplines that help us get to know our Father better and help us to grow closer to Him and grow more like His Son. They do not earn us, if I say brownie points, to God, because we either have His perfect righteousness that we cannot improve on, or we come with self-righteousness, which will always fail us. From rags to riches. Can you relate to what I'm saying, that sometimes we can be right with God, but we can have a tendency to live from that one perspective? That's why I said it affects our relationship with God and affects our relationship with others. I don't want to go around, I'm the guy with the big stick, like I got to be correcting everybody or whatever. I just want to speak the truth in love. And if God brings conviction, then let it be. Luke 18, Jesus carries on in verse 10. He says this, two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector who was really looked down on society. Verse 11 says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. In other words, he's kind of there before God. He says, God, notice he's grateful. I thank you that I'm not like other men. I don't think that's the gratitude that God wants. I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's not a complicated prayer, is it? That's just real, isn't it? Just like a man on the cross. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. The issue is not the amount of words or even the correct words per se. It's the right heart that responds to the conviction and drawing of God, and in faith that says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Didn't you sense repentance and genuine faith in that simple prayer? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I have nothing to offer you, but I'm asking for your mercy. Then he goes on in verse 14. He says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Man, think of the conflict we could avoid if we always lived more from compassion than contempt. I'm not saying every conflict. I'm simply saying we could avoid some, maybe much, if we were a little more compassionate rather than looking down on others. How many of you ever heard the phrase, but for the grace of God, there go I? Anyone ever heard that? But for the grace of God, there go I. It's Jesus said, this man went home justified. He went home in right relationship with God. Before we share communion together, let me ask you this. Between you and the Lord now, how will you go home today? Will you go home in right relationship with God? How about all of us today? Maybe we could ask the Lord, Lord, would you reveal any self-righteousness in my heart? First of all, let me say this real quick. Remember the story Jesus told, another story about a father who had two sons, and the younger one came to him and said, give me my inheritance. Like you already did, let me have it. And he took his part of the inheritance, which was a third of the estate, and went out and partied and lost it all. He gave them both their inheritance. The older son who stayed home received two-thirds of the inheritance. That was how the law worked. And when this young man ended up in a pig pen and came to himself, he ran home not demanding, just wanting to be right and say, just make me like one of your servants. But the dad, when his heart was right, the son's heart was right, the dad ran to meet him, it said. It said, bring out the best robe. Get the robe, get the sandals. We're going to party. It's celebrate time. My son was dead and he's come back home. When the older son heard all the partying, he said, what's going on? Those in the family or in the service there said, your dad's received your brother. He's home and there's a big celebration. And he pouted and he was unhappy. He stayed in the house, but he was not enjoying close fellowship with his father. He had the outside rules, but he wasn't close. He wasn't having joy with not only his father, but with his brother. So Lord, may you reveal any self-righteousness in our heart that would hinder your grace and your joy from being within us. May the Lord reveal to us any self-righteousness that would cause conflict with others or take his blessings for granted. And of all the blessings, can we just be more grateful for his grace? Grace, gratitude, compassion. Would you say that with me? Grace, gratitude, and compassion. That's how we go from rags to riches. This morning as we go to the Lord in prayer, again, I'll just ask you to search your heart. Let's lay everything aside. If we need to make it right, let's just go ahead and do it now so that we receive joyfully. We come to the table in full peace with our Father in his righteousness and being in right relationship as best we can from this place with anyone else. So, Father, we just ask now that you would just search our hearts and reveal any area of self-righteousness to us, Lord, that would hinder your grace and your work in our lives, and then not just in us, but through us. Help us, Lord, to be grateful and not take your blessings for granted. Lord, in those moments when conflicts arise, help us just to be mindful, Lord, to make it about an issue rather than about the person, and be compassionate as you have been toward us. So, Lord, we thank you today. I pray for your peace in our hearts. I pray that wherever we are in our walk with you, you would draw us closer today, Lord. That's what we ultimately want. We want you and your will. In Jesus' name, amen.